welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is day four of the NFL Combine. Yours truly, Donnie Druin, joined alongside by Derek Bell out here in Indianapolis. Noah Strackbine on his way back home to the Berg after 4 days of phenomenal coverage for AllSteelersTalk.com. Before we get started, go ahead, drop us a follow on Twitter at @SI_Steelers. And give us a follow and subscribe on YouTube, All Steelers Talk. And go ahead and give us a like and follow on Facebook as well. Derek, today we talked to a plethora of different offense and defensive linemen throughout the NFL Combine. They're going to be participating in drills tomorrow, which will be Friday. First of all, how you doing? How's the drive back to Louisville?
Man, it was good. Like I said, I made it six times now. So, I mean, we're in business. I feel like I make it in my sleep, literally.
You are a pro. Now, speaking of sleep, I feel like sleep has been non-existent for the three of us here at All Steelers Talk throughout the entire week. But you know what? That's what we signed up for. That's why they give us the media credential. You know, it is what it is. A lot of offensive and defensive linemen talk today. Really excited to get into it, especially since you weren't too excited to talk about the quarterbacks yesterday. So, you know, definitely happy, at least for yourself, that you missed out on that bad boy. Derek, the offensive line for the Pittsburgh Steelers the last year was abysmal at times. At times, I guess you'd classify that as most of the games that we watched them play. Steelers met with a dozen different offensive linemen through the NFL Combine thus far. Guys such as Kenyon Green from Texas A&M, Charles Cross from Mississippi State, Zion Johnson from Boston College, and of course, Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa, who's actually set to meet with the Steelers in the future. He hasn't officially met with them right now. You know, we got to talk to them through our time in Indianapolis. And give me a couple of takeaways that you had from talking with the couple of guys that you did get the opportunity to.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the Charles Cross meeting. I had a feeling that they were going to have interest because Cross is a phenomenal player. I think he's a top 10 player in the class easily. So that one was something that I was really excited about hearing. Cross is a guy that I think is going to be a excellent to elite pass protector at the next level. I mean, you can plug him and play him literally tomorrow, and he's probably only going to give up at like a couple sacks as a rookie. It's really interesting. At Mississippi State, he was asked in Mike Leach's offense to basically stay out there on an island and pass protect for 50 to 60 plays while they went up tempo and threw the ball all over the yard. And man, honestly, like, he won every single matchup that he was in last year. So I love him as a player. Of course, Kenyon Green, another really good player. He's played four positions on the Texas A&M offensive line, played with Dan Moore. I really like him. He's my top ranked interior offensive lineman. Zion Johnson's another guy that they've met with a handful of times already. He's definitely in the mix. I'm not sure about 20, but definitely in round two if he were to slide far enough. But yeah, a lot of really good offensive line prospects that they've already met with. And this is a really good class, so I'm excited about that.
Did you have any favorite prospects that you talked to during your time in Indy?
Yes. I was excited to talk to Cross, but I only got a couple questions in because the freaking podium was crazy. Yeah. The guy who I probably talked to the most was a guy that I loved his film, was Tyler Smith from Tulsa. I love me some Tyler Smith. I think this notion that he's a guard or that you need to put him inside is silly. I would let him develop those tools and traits. If he were to go somewhere in round two where he doesn't necessarily have to play right away, that would be ideal. He's a little bit of a work in progress, but he's a nasty run defender or run blocker. I'm sorry. He's a nasty run blocker with all kinds of tools and flashes and pass pro. He's met formally with the Steelers. I was really excited about that because that was a big question for me. He called Mike Tomlin a legend, so he was really excited about his meeting with them. And I actually caught up to him after his interview, too, and talked to him a little bit more about the Steelers and said he got a really good vibe from the meeting. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
Really good vibes, indeed. And Derek's just kind of looking at the Steelers offensive line right now. Is it fair to say that Dan Moore Jr. is probably the most consistent guy, at least playing at left tackle moving forward on the offensive line? Because Kevin Dotson doesn't really give me any hope. Kendrick Green obviously is a big question mark right now. Trey Turner is Trey Turner. And then obviously you have Chukwuma Okorafor, who's probably, you know, the 1A to the 1B of this question, if you really want to get down into it. I guess the better question for you would be, what's your overall, like, comfort levels with each position, you know, guard, tackle, and center moving into the draft?
Yeah, I mean, Turner and Chooks are both free agents. So, I mean, that's tough. You got to make decisions on them. Chooks had a pretty good year in pass pro last year. He's just never going to be a really impactful run blocker. Turner is decent at what he does. He's really smart, can pick up stunts. He's okay when you allow him to protect the passer. He works well in a phone booth, but he's just not athletic anymore. He really restricts a lot of the things that you can do. Kendrick Green, we'll see about him. I'm not sure, man. The rookie tape was really bad at center, and I'm not sure if it's going to get much better at guard for him. He's got to get a lot better with his hand usage, and that's the big thing that he's got to work on in the offseason. Kevin Dotts is a guy that had a strong rookie season as a reserve, but, you know, the Steelers didn't really show a lot of confidence in him. There were some rumors about him in the offseason about maybe they weren't exactly happy with him or his development. And then Dan Moore, I thought, played really well the last, like, month of the season. He kind of started to adjust on how to play those speed rushers. The thing about Moore that I'm not really sure how he improves or will be interesting to see if he can improve from year one to year two is, like, can he deal with guys now that he is able to get out and protect the corner? Like, can he deal with guys that are trying to use that speed to power against him? His anchor ability to me is just kind of average for a starter anyway. So that's something that he's going to have to really work on.
I do want to touch on Kendrick Green moving from center to guard, or, you know, perhaps him staying at center. Do you think there would be any advantages to moving him at guard? Not more so for the Steelers and their ability to go and maybe get a guy like Linderbaum if he's there at 20 or anything like that. Just in terms of Kendrick Green and his play style, would he benefit from a move to guard?
So it was funny. I actually got the chance to meet probably the most respected guy on Twitter for offensive line play, Brandon Thorne. So we had a discussion earlier today about a lot of things, and we talked about Kendrick Green. And I mentioned to him about, you know, how big of a difference is it going from, like, guard to center, and what all is involved in that move? Because, you know, I've heard him talk a little bit about it, and other centers talk about, you know, with your hands, like having to snap the ball and then get your hands up to block is, you know, a transition. Whereas when you're at a guard, you know, you have your hands up higher, so it's easier to strike first. And then, you know, he brought up some of the things about, like, making protections and just being really smart about where you're supposed to be after the snap. We saw Kendrick Green a little lost at times with that, some of those things. Repetition helps there, but he's a player that's mostly maxed out with his frame. He's really strong, but you can't make him any taller. So he has to play a lot better with his hands next year, and that's just something that he didn't do a lot this year. Whether that improves at guard or not, I'm really not sure. That's why I'm not convinced that that move is just going to be this I'll fix it.
Would you be more comfortable with J.C. Hasenauer taking over at center and then him either serving as the backup or playing at right guard? Or are you just willing to kind of let it ride with Kendrick Green? Maybe since he was almost thrown into the fire his rookie year, maybe the sophomore slump is almost the opposite effect for him?
Yeah. So I don't think Hasenauer is very good either. But that tells you, though, because, like, when Hasenauer got put in the lineup last year, the offensive line played better collectively, which the thing about offensive line play is you can't have any tomato cans. Like, you don't need superstars at all five positions, but if you have, like, one or two really, really bad players, defensive coordinators are good ones at least that can draw up pressures, will attack the hell out of that one player. So that's something that you can't have. Now, as far as how they go about it, Linderbaum's an option. I like Linderbaum, but it really only makes sense if the Steelers really want to move to that outside zone or zone almost exclusive blocking scheme. Because if you have him and you have Kendrick Green, you have Dan Moore, you've got a couple pieces on that offensive line that are really athletic. Moore can really move. Green can really move. Linderbaum is a generational mover at the center position. So it makes sense in that aspect. But I think probably my favorite thing for them to do would be grab a veteran free agent center to where they don't have to reach, or they don't lock themselves into having to take Linderbaum or having to you know, keep Kendrick Green at center for next year. Grab a vet center that knows how to play, is a proven guy.
Look, I'm not saying throw all the money at Ryan Jensen, but I'm kind of saying throw all the money at Ryan Jensen. I think it'd be a phenomenal upgrade. I did want to touch on something you brought up that was really interesting, though, because when you look at Kendrick Green and then Kevin Dotson and then Dan Moore on the left side of the offensive line, that was kind of the promising part of the offensive line moving forward. You know, looking back into 2021, you know, at least on the left side of the line of scrimmage, you should have been able to run the ball, you know, and especially like you said, if you want to switch that more outside zone scheme, I mean, that could be really promising, especially for a runner like Najee Harris, who I do believe that kind of aligns to his strengths, you know, at least going into his second season. So definitely something to watch there. Like we already talked about, a dozen offensive linemen have met with the Steelers at the 2022 NFL Combine. Derek, I'm sitting here and I'm wondering if they're going to stay put in the 20s area. What kind of guys do you expect to be available right around that range? I know it's really tough and difficult to kind of project who's going to go where, but can you just throw me a couple of names that, you know, people should at least watch for whenever they're on the clock?
As far as guys that the Steelers have met with so far, I really have a good feeling that Kenyon Green's going to be there at 20. I'm almost certain that Zion Johnson's going to be there at 20. Those two guys make a lot of sense just because they both had a lot of contact with the Steelers. Zion Johnson's met with them 4 or 5 times, and he said that he hoped to get a formal setup with them again this week. Kenyon Green's met with them a couple of times as well. So I think that those two guys are definitely people to watch for. Now, there are some other sleepers. Like, I think Trevor Penning's met with them, so he's a guy to keep an eye on. My guy Tyler Smith's been getting a little bit of first-round buzz. Top 20's not really where anybody's willing to go yet. But my draft hot take has kind of been that I know Trevor Penning's a really good player. He's a good player, and he had a really good Senior Bowl. But the tools that Smith has are at least on par with what Penning can offer. And I'd rather take him at 52 than take Penning at 20. Is my thing. I really like Tyler Smith as a player. So those guys, you know, as far as other positions, you know, they've met with all 7 of the quarterbacks. So you take your pick on who you think is going to be there. Malik Willis has been the guy that they've been rumored to have the most interest in. And then like a kind of a sleeper kind of pick, maybe a guy like Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson had a formal meeting with the Steelers, which I thought was really interesting considering I don't even know if he's going to be on the board. And we all kind of agree that, you know, the Steelers need wide receiver help, but taking one at round one would be a little surprising. So, you know, those are awesome guys I think will be there.
Now, I do want to ask you this. Let's say they don't go off offensive line in round one. Let's say they go quarterback or corner, even maybe, you know, a wild pick like wide receiver, like you had suggested. Do they kind of pin themselves into having to take an offensive lineman in the second day of the draft, rounds 2 and 3?
They may feel that way, or they may not. But I will say this about this offensive line class. It's really deep. So, like, there's guys that are going to be available to them even starting in round 3 that are really, really good players. And I think that that's what makes this draft – good for them is a lot of their needs, which they have a lot of them. A lot of their needs are at really deep positions, especially interior offensive line, man. Like, it wouldn't scare me as much depending on who they got in like round 3 per se. But like both of the LSU guards have had contact with the Steelers, Chasen Hines, Ed Ingram. Ingram's a really good player. A day one type of guard that you can probably get in like rounds 3 or 4. So that wouldn't hurt my feelings, you know, if they were able, for whatever reason, if they want to go quarterback, which I don't advise, if they do go quarterback at 20 and then, you know, say they take a linebacker or a receiver in round 2 and then, you know, wait on offensive line, as long as you get the right players, it won't be bad. But again, you just have to temper expectations when you're waiting until the mid rounds, like rounds 3, you can expect a contributor. Day 3, though, you need to understand that those guys are developmental pieces, yeah, or specific role guys. A guy like Dan Moore shouldn't be, you know, thrusted into the starting lineup expected to play really well early on. That's what we saw. He did it play well early on because he's not ready. So just temper expectations if they do go that route.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the Steelers' offensive line, I think exactly what you said kind of, you know, brings that case to light. Look at Dana Moore, who's a fourth-round pick. You look at Kevin Dotson, who's also a fourth-round pick. Kendrick Green was the third-round pick in last year's draft, right? Third-round pick?
Yep.
Yep, third-round pick. There's really no top pick invested into that Steelers offensive line. And it feels like so long ago where we saw them, you know, take Marquise Pouncey in the first round of the draft. We saw them take David DeCastro in the draft. And we've seen even other teams, such as the Dallas Cowboys, invest such heavy capital into the line of scrimmage. And for the most part, it's paid off. Now, granted, you know, neither the Cowboys nor the Steelers, after drafting Pouncey and DeCastro, have brought home Super Bowls. But, you know, there's a wild array of factors that also play into that as well. Last question for you on the offensive line before we switch over to the other side of the ball. How urgent do you think the need is to take an offensive lineman in the upcoming draft, or at least through the first 2 days of the draft? I know free agency really kind of sets the tempo for this. And, you know, in a couple weeks, March 16th is the first day of the new league year. So, you know, we'll definitely see some signings after that. But, man, at least from my perspective, before you talk, something's got to get done about this, because they cannot roll that same starting five out and expect the same results.
I completely agree, man. I mean, we said it all last offseason how foolish it was. You know, of them to just not really prioritize that, man. You got an aging quarterback and who's not the most mobile of guys anymore. And they let a weakness be a weakness for multiple years in a row. And that's really not what you want to do. If you have a weakness, you need to address it and improve there. So I expect that they're going to prioritize it this year. I really do believe that. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the first round pick. But I really do believe they're going to come away with an offensive lineman in the first three rounds. And I think they should draft at least one or two. Like, it wouldn't, I personally would like to double dip. Like, if you get a first round lineman, take another one in round four or five. Like, take another guy that you can at least use as a depth piece to try and develop. So I think they will, but we'll have to see.
Switching over to the defensive side of the ball, the Steelers have met with over 18 different defensive linemen and edge rushers, which is something that we'll definitely talk about here in a second. Notable guys are Zach Carter from Florida, Nick Bonito out of Oklahoma, Devontae Wyatt out of Ohio State, and, of course, David Ojabo out of Michigan. You know, we talked about the depth of offensive linemen in this draft class, and I feel like the same could be said on the other side of the ball. I mean, a lot of scouts and media members are, you know, kind of, you know, parading around how deep you can find edge rushers in this 2022 class.
Yeah, the edge rush depth is just silly. This might be the best, like, to avoid being, you know, to avoid the hyperbole, this might be the best edge rush class, like, ever. Like, as far as depth-wise, the same could be really said for corner. I mean, there's so much depth at those two positions where you can find – I talked about finding off, like, guards and stuff that can contribute from day one in rounds three and four. There's a bunch of edge rushers. And edge rusher is typically a position that the hit rate after day one is terrible. Yeah. But there's guys on day two and day three of this draft that I would bet on being good players at the next level. So, yeah, defensive line doesn't quite have that same depth, I don't believe. But edge rusher, man, I'm happy that they did set up some formal visits and even some informals with that class, because there's a lot of talent there to be had.
Yeah, and then you just look at the current Steelers defensive line right now. You have Cam Hayward, who you said earlier this morning while we were on our way to the combine that, you know, he's getting a little bit older, but he's still producing at a very high level. Chris Wormley, where, you know, he's definitely carved out a role with the Steelers, but, you know, if they found an upgrade over him, I wouldn't be super upset. And then it kind of gets a little all right at the defensive line. You don't know Stephon Tuitt, what his situation is, whether or not he'll be coming back. Tyson Alualu is turning 35 years old this year. And then you have guys like Isaiah Loudermilk, Monte Adams, and Carlos Davis behind him, just to name a couple of the guys that could potentially, you know, serve as rotational players. Taco Charlton and Derek Tuzka are going to be upcoming free agents this year that would have to re-sign another contract to come back in 2022. It doesn't feel like it is a pounding need, like they need to go and get somebody on day one or maybe even day two. Do you expect them to address this front seven, not even front seven, this defensive line early? And would you be shocked if they don't?
I wouldn't be surprised either way, man. I mean, because you're relying on guys like Tyson Alualu, who's older, he's 35 years old. Cam Hayward's old, he's still playing at an elite level. But and then you look at Stephon too. I mean, there's a bunch of questions surrounding his future. He's a guy that's missed over 30 games over the past couple of seasons. So how much can you really rely on him to come back, even if you do bring him back? There's a big needed defensive line. I mean, we saw them get gashed on the run last year, really all season. They gave up a franchise record number of rushing yards. I do think that it would be a good investment to add another piece to that rotation. I'd like to get Monty Adams back. I would also not turn my nose up at, you know, trying to add a free agent to the mix too. But you could definitely make the argument for adding, you know, a young piece to that unit.
And do you feel like Adams definitely turned it on, at least at the end of last season? Whether he could do that over the course of now a 17-game season, can remain to be seen. But I think you got a draft crush, Derek, at least on the defensive line, because you were hyping up Nick Bonito a lot in the recent article, which you can find, of course, on allsteelers.com. And it sounded like he gave you a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah, Bonito's super interesting. So before we went to meet with the edge rushers, I spent pretty much all day talking to edge rushers about like just some of their favorite pass moves and their pass rushing plan. And Bonito was a guy that I had circled that I wanted to talk to, but I was like, I don't think the Steelers would be very interested just because he is a little lighter in his frame. He's a pure speed rusher right now, which the Steelers, they've had some interest in those guys over the years, but not really. They like their bigger explosive guys. But they did have a formal meeting with Nick Bonito. If you haven't seen his tape, man, the get off is crazy. That's the most important trait, in my opinion, for edge rushers, and he's got that in spades. He can really, really win the edge. So he's an interesting fit. And then on the flip side of that, kind of the polar opposite type of player, Majay Sanders from Cincinnati, they had a formal visit with him as well. Sanders is also a really good fit in a 3-4 as an outside linebacker, but he's a completely different player in that he's really technically refined and does a really good job using his hands to his advantage, good grip strength, really refined player with that slight frame of his. I asked a bunch of offensive linemen 2 days ago who the toughest player to block was, and the overwhelming favorite was Majay Sanders. I think five of them said his name. So he's really well-respected in Indianapolis for sure.
Are you at all concerned about the depth outside – sorry, at the outside linebacker position? Because after T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith, there's really not a whole lot there. And I feel like it's kind of been that way for a few years now, even going back to whenever Bud Dupree – was still playing in Pittsburgh. Obviously, they tried to go and get Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram wasn't really having the role that he had in Pittsburgh. Kind of forced his way out. They should definitely be looking to get another guy behind either Watt or Highsmith. How alarming is that? Like, are you like really trying to find a very, very solid upgrade, considering that, you know, if TJ Watt goes down, that defense kind of takes a turn for the worse, or if Alex Highsmith even goes down, even the production on the other side of the ball opposite of Watt could, you know, potentially be impacted as well.
Yeah, you'd love it. I mean, Watt's a superstar and Alex Highsmith's a really solid player across from him, but, you know, not much depth behind him, and pass rushers are in high demand. I mean, we're going to see an incredible number of edge rushers go in the first round. Like, I think 7 or 8 guys could potentially go in the top 32. And then, you know, they're going to be flying off the board in day two as well. It's hard to get quality edge rushers now because everybody wants them because they know how important that is. It's a premium position. It's not like it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago where the Steelers were able to turn defensive linemen into stand-up outside linebackers. And, you know, they were the only ones doing it at the time. Everybody wants those guys now. So, I would love to, especially with how deep this class is.
Do you have any like favorite prospects you would love them to go grab, or any guys you're kind of circling to, you know, maybe see if the Steelers show up at their pro day?
Yeah, I mean, I love this class. I was happy to hear that they met with Ojabo. Not that he's going to be there or they could afford to take him in round one, but honestly, I'd draft him and have him and Watt just destroy worlds together. But Minnesota's boy Amafe, that's a guy that I want to see if maybe they get a little more interest in. He's really intriguing. He's going to be a day two guy. Early day two, I think. I mentioned Nick Bonito. I think that's a possibility. Majay Sanders, a possibility. Trey Williams from Arkansas. I talked to him a little bit today. He had a meeting with the Steelers informally. Another guy that I think is really intriguing Sam Williams. He had a game against Cross and Mississippi State that was really impressive. He told me today that in the first half, they were asking him to just contain off the edge because they didn't want their quarterback to get out in the pocket. I noticed that he played way different in the second half. For one, they moved him away from Cross, which that's fair. But he was destroying their right tackle. I mean, they were trying to chip him. They were trying to leave a tight end in. He was everywhere. I think he had like 5 pressures or something like that in the second half alone. There's some off the field stuff there, but as far as like a talented day 3 guy that could be a star, Sam Williams is that guy. I'm a big believer in his talent level.
So edge rushers, I've always been told, are kind of like the new cornerback. You can never really have enough of them, especially in a league where, you know, how it's set up today. Moving forward, though, and almost returning to the interior of the defensive line, let's say they don't address, you know, any of the, you know, defensive, you know, tackle or, you know, even the other positions along the D-line. How confident are you in a guy like Loudermilk? You know, because he's more of a versatile guy. It looks like the Steelers really like him. They liked him whenever they drafted him, and he did get some time down the stretch whenever some guys were banked up. Heading into year 2, obviously, it's going to be a big year. He has that year of experience now underneath his belt. He was, you know, a later pick in the draft. Organization seems to like him a lot. Are you confident enough in him to, you know, maybe roll the dice on him should they need him?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a fan of Loudermilk's tape, and then I was really surprised they traded back into the draft to get him as early as they did last year. But Loudermilk had a solid rookie season, man. I thought he needed a complete redshirt year. He needed to get a lot stronger, a lot bigger, kind of fill out that huge frame of his. But he held up really well against the run. I'm not sure that I see a starting level like 3-4 defensive end in terms of like pass rushing ability, because I don't know. He's not very athletic and he's going to only get bigger. So unless he adds like a lot of power and he's able to bull rush guys and win that way, I don't think he can win with like agility or like speed or anything like that, any type of those rushes. But he's a solid player, man. I mean, I think like with him being your 4th or 5th defensive lineman, I think you feel pretty good about that after having a year of experience where he played a ton.
Most definitely. And wrapping up here on All Steelers Talk, Derek, I'm actually going to put you on a spot right now. Wide open field, limitless range of possibilities for the Steelers to go on either side of the ball, really. Who's one prospect you're hanging your hat on? Like the absolute guy you're banging your fist on the table for in the war room for the Steelers to draft? Doesn't matter what round, doesn't matter, you know, if they have to trade up or trade down for him. Who's your guy that you really want the Steelers to leave with in the 2022 NFL draft?
Yeah, so I'll give you one for every round. How about that?
Ooh, yeah.
Please. I'll do the first 3 rounds because I'm not going to sit here and talk forever. One is Andrew Booth at 20. If he's there, run it to the podium. He's going to be a star. Yeah. He's going to be a star. I really do believe that. Elite change of direction, great feet, can mirror, impress, unbelievable ball skills. The kid's just like scratching the surface of like what he can be as a corner, can play man, can play zone. He can transform a defense. Like, he's going to be a star, especially if he hits anything close to where his ceiling is. And round 2, this can be an unpopular one probably for where it is, but Leo Chenal from Wisconsin. The Steelers had a formal meeting with him, and I'm telling you, the Steelers are going to love that kid. Inside linebacker, he's a lot more athletic than people are giving him credit for. He's not a throwback. He's athletic enough to where he can cover and carry receivers up the seam. Blitz is crazy. If you want to ask about how good Chenal is and how strong he is, ask Tyler Linderbaum, because he dominated that man last season when they played. And then in round 3, I got to go with Scott Moore, man. He was such a good interview. His tape's really clean. He only dropped 6 passes in 3 years, man. He's got 10-inch hands, destroys press coverage. Like, you cannot get up in that dude's face or just run right by you. So, and he ran a good 40 time yesterday. 4.41 was an excellent time for him, who I thought he was honestly quicker than fast, but, you know, he has pretty good long speed. So those 3 guys are all like in those ranges. I would bang the table for those guys for sure.
you know, in a receiver class that looks very, very elite starting at the top. I mean, I really feel like Sky Moore had himself a very fine day on field testing yesterday, especially if you have guys like Olave just booking it in their 40 time, which is looking silky smooth with basically everything else that they did, regardless of most of them opting out of the bench press, which is kind of whack, but that's a whole another topic of discussion for another day. Sky Moore, I mean, another phenomenal pick. Should they be able to get him in the third round? I mean, from your lips to God's ears. Derek, it's been a phenomenal couple of days of Indianapolis with both you and Noah Schapnine. Obviously, the coverage continues at allsteelers.com. Please feel free to like and subscribe to All Steelers on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at @SI_Steelers. Follow Derek at @Steelers_DB. Follow me at Donnie Druin. Like Noah Schapnine says, be a friend, tell a friend, and we'll catch you guys later.